Mark chapter 11, would you notice in verse number 15, as we read the word of God together, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because of all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Beloved, I want to bring a message to you on the subject today, the day that Jesus got mad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good service and the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of the Spirit of God today. And I pray, Lord, that today may be the day of salvation for that one that's lost. Father, that one today that's struggling and going through a hard time, that one today, I pray, God, encourage them in the faith. Lord, I pray that you might just lay your hands of healing upon that one today that needs a touch from God. Lord, whatever is done, may we give you the glory and praise, for we ask it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, my friend. You may be seated. As I read the Word of God, I am thrilled just to read about the stories that I see the Lord Jesus in. Oftentimes, as I read that, I can visualize in my mind some of those events. For instance, in the Gospel of Mark, I can see him in chapter number 1 as the Lord Jesus comes through Jericho. There's a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. He's by the side of the road begging, and the lovely Lord Jesus touches the blinded eyes and opens them. I can see that man, my friend, once he receives his sight, I thank God he began to leap and jump and run. Hey, listen, when you get your eyes open, things look different. Amen. And I see, as I read the Word of God here in the Gospel of Mark, I find a man in Mark chapter number 2 that was lame. They brought him to the Lord on a stretcher. They couldn't get in the house, but they tore the roof up and let him down. I can see that. I look, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, perhaps as those people gathered in that house today, and all of a sudden the plaster started falling and the roof started caving in, and those four men said, hey, we've got to get our friend to Jesus. Friend, I want to tell you something. Nothing else matters except getting people to Jesus. Amen. And here they tore the roof up and let the man down. I read in the Word of God about this man that was a leper in Mark chapter number 1. Here I find that he was cleansed. Here I find that Jesus asked him not to say anything to anyone else. But yet this man in Mark chapter number 1, he went through the crowd and he began to proclaim what great things that God has done for him. And I want to tell you something. When a person, a man or woman, a boy or girl, when they get a dose of the real stuff, they'll be able to tell others. Amen. You won't have to drag it out of them. You won't have to prime them and pride them. Thank God, when you get something that's real, you'll want to share it with others. But now I find, as I come to Mark chapter number 11, here is a story that I visualize, and it just seems almost out of place. Here I find the day that Jesus got mad. Now, beloved, most of the time when we get mad, and I say we as in us, amen, most of the time when we get mad, we sin. Now, you might say, preacher, I don't get mad. Well, honey, you just lied right there. Amen. I mean, how many times you ride down the road, somebody pulls out in front of you and you want to run all over top of them? Amen. I mean, listen, as Brother Don Harrell says, we'll door cuss and we'll horn cuss. Amen. We may not say it out loud, but we'll walk over and slam a door. We'll do something. We'll throw something. We'll get angry and we get upset. And we sin when we do that. But not Jesus. The Bible said that he got angry, but he sinned not. I'm glad for that. You say, why high preacher, because if he had sinned, he'd not be the spotless, sinless sacrifice to go to Calvary and die for this old boy's sin. But as I read that this morning in Mark chapter number 11, the day that Jesus got mad, why did he get mad? I can imagine here these people in the temple of God. They had their table set up. They had the money exchangers at the table. They had the doves. They had all the sacrifices there. And all of a sudden it seemed like a whirlwind that came in. Listen, I can see him as he gets in that temple, grabs them tables and throws it up. Money begins to fly everywhere. He looses the birds. Feathers begin to fly everywhere. And friend, listen, here these men, he chased them out of the temple. Now friend, listen, this was not the first time that Jesus cleansed the temple. You'll find in John chapter number 2, you'll find there the first time that he cleansed the temple. You'll find in John chapter number 2, he took time in John 2 to make a little scourge and drive the people out. In John chapter number 2, that was the beginning of his miracles, the beginning of his ministry. Here in Mark chapter 11, it is at the close of his ministry. This chapter here in Mark parallels with Matthew 21. Here you'll find as Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. Here is at the close. You say, preacher, why did he get so mad? If you talk to some of those folk today, and if we'd had a microphone and went up to some of them that had been chased out of the temple, I believe we'd have said, sir, can you tell me what happened? Well, I'm just sitting there. I've got my money on the table. I don't know why he got so upset. I don't know why he got so mad. He came in there and all of a sudden he grabbed my table and all the money I had, it just went flying in there. He said, I'm only providing a service. You see, when people come into the temple and they've got all this money to pay the temple tax, they've got to have the right kind of money. They've got to have that coin that's stamped with the insignia of Jerusalem. And so all I'm doing, Brother Steve, he'd say, all I'm doing, I'm just helping folk out. Well, I've got Greek money. I've got Roman money. I've got Macedonian money. I've got all this money here. And when they come into the temple, why, I'm just helping them out. I'm just exchanging that. Well, for a little extra fee, of course. Amen. Walk up to another fella, and all of a sudden his birds has done flew out yonder. Hell, he's got his empty cage, Gail. You say, sir, what happened? Boy, I tell you what, I don't know, this wild man came in here. All of a sudden he ripped open the bird cages. All of a sudden he made the birds fly. All I've got left is a bunch of feathers. I don't know why he's so mad. All I'm doing, providing a service. Why, when people come to the temple, when they come to the temple to worship, they've got to have a sacrifice. Oh, granted, they could buy that sacrifice outside the temple, but then when they get it inside the temple, the priest would declare it unclean, and so therefore, we would rebuy it and charge about four times the amount it was due. But hey, we're just making a living. I don't know why he got so mad. I don't know why he got so mad. Well, I'll tell you why he got so mad. He tells us why. The Lord Jesus tells us exactly why he got so mad. Look in Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Jesus quoted two passages of Scripture. The Bible said here in Mark 11, 17, and Jesus said, is it not written, my house shall be called of nations a house of prayer? My friend, he quoted Isaiah 56, 7. He said, then them will I bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. He quoted from Jeremiah 7:11. He said, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Why was he so mad? Why was Jesus so mad? I'll tell you why, my friend. It's because his house was being used for something other than what it was intended for. His house, my friend, the Bible said, was to be a house of prayer. And here they had turned it into nothing more but Walmart. Here, my friend, the people were buying and selling and trading goods around. Oh, beloved, here you find that these people here had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves and robbers. And friend, what I'm saying to you this morning is that the church of the living God, we need to get back to some old-fashioned prayer meetings once again. Hey, why was Jesus so mad? My friend, I'll tell you why. Is it here today in our churches across our land today? Churches have become a stranger to prayer. In churches and congregations today, America and pastors have tried to build congregations on sporting events. They've tried to build family life centers, bring in some big famous music group. One thing that God puts a premium on and we have left out is prayer. And friend, it's time. It's the church of the living God. We get back to praying once again. Prayer, my friend, is the breath that drives the church. We'll talk about our schools taking prayer out, but yet the average church doesn't pray. We say we need leaders in our country that'll fear God and reverence the Lord, and yet the average home doesn't pray. Compared, my friend, to the amount of time you watch television this week, how much time have you spent in prayer? Oh, y'all can say amen or owe me either one. I was reading a little bit of Leonard Ravenhill the other day, and it convicted my soul, put a dagger in my heart. He said this in his book, Why Revival Tarries. He said the average preacher in America, he said they'd spend less than 2 hours. He said, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for any preacher that didn't spend 2 hours a day in prayer. Oh, my friend, what's missing in our churches, what's missing in our homes is prayer. We need to find the altar of God and cry out and beseech the Lord, and then God will bless. We've tried everything under the sun. It's time we get back to some old-fashioned praying. Can I have an amen? What's God's plan for the church? Four things. I'm going to give them to you this morning. Number one, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, here's what Paul said to young Timothy. I believe as Paul, the veteran of the faith, I believe Paul, the aged soldier, as he's beginning that long journey toward home, he looked at Timothy, and this is what he said. He said, Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. The first thing that God's planned for the church is prayer goes up. Amen. Oh, you can't get away from it. My friend, God has designed the church as a church of prayer. We've negated prayer. We've tried to replace it with everything else. And my friend, I don't mean just now I lay me down to sleep, but I mean groaning. I mean uttering. I mean reaching up and grabbing hold of the throne and the altar of God and said, I'll not let go till you bless me. We need to pray like that. Mamas, you need to pray like that. Come on. Daddies, you need to pray like that. Husbands, we need to pray like that. Oh, Grandpa, Grandma, we need to pray and pray for our kids and grandkids and those that are to come. My friend, the hope of this country is not found in the White House. It's not going to be found on Election Day. It's going to be found in churches like this one across our country that will learn to get on this altar and beg and plead and cry and pour our heart out to God. That's where hope is. Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, turn there if you want to. I'll find there the early church. They had no modern technology. I'm not against technology. I use it. I'll use it. I'm not, listen, thank God for sound system. Thank God for microphone. Thank God for slide projectors. Thank God for all that. But my friend, I got news for you. The early church had none of that. Thank God for modern transportation. I'm glad, my friend, when I got my car early this morning to come down here, I'm glad I didn't have to hitch up a team of mules and a horse and a wagon and come down. Praise God, I'd still be on my way. I'm glad for modern conveniences. Say amen. But my friend, listen, we can have all the modern transportation. We can have all the modern conveniences. And yet what we are lacking is the prayer and the power. That's what the early church had. Look in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse number, and chapter number 2. What were these folks doing? They were praying. They were waiting on God. Here in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus. I believe that day on Mount Olivet. I believe that day in Acts 1, verse 11. I believe that day when Jesus, here he has been risen from the dead, showed himself for 40 days, walked among his people. They'd seen him. There was no mistaking. This was he that was nailed to the cross. This was he that was put in the tomb. This is he that came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. This is the same one. And they stood there that day, and he was lifted up toward heaven. Y'all ever gone out to the airport? Years ago, my sister used to get on an airplane. It's Eastern Airlines, if y'all remember that. Amen. My daddy used to fly Piedmont when they had just twin props. And we'd go out to the airport, Raleigh Durham, walk out on the tarmac. And when that plane taxied down the runway, it'd take off. And listen, we'd stand there and wave. They couldn't see a thing he was waving at. But yet they'd wave, and that little old dot just kept going. And then once you couldn't see, we'd turn around and go back home. Oh, I believe that day, Acts 1:11, the Lord Jesus taken up from them. And they're standing there, and they're looking up. Oh, listen, he had walked on the shores of Galilee, that healed the sick, raised the dead. He's gone. And the angels came and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that's taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you see him go." Then they were instructed to go back, and go to that upper room. Now watch it. They were to go back to the upper room. And God didn't say, when you get back there, call in some Chinese food. When you get back there, go ahead and put a movie in the VCR. You know what age I'm in, amen. God didn't say, when you get back yonder, go ahead and play some tiddlywinks. God said, when you get back to the upper room, fall on your face and begin to pray and seek the power of God. Amen. Now watch it. 40 days he was seen. These men of Galilee, these disciples, they went back, and I believe they got on their knees. I believe they began to pray. And my friend, they got down. They wasn't in a hurry. They wasn't concerned about when the cafeteria is going to close. They wasn't concerned about who was coming over. But they said one thing, we've got to pray. We've got to seek the Lord. And you say, how long did they do it? Chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 50 days. I believe without a doubt for 10 days they stayed on their knees before God. We're lucky to get 10 minutes today. Say amen. Did everybody pack up and leave while I wasn't looking? Today you may listen. Oh, thank God I didn't listen. Brother James, that blessed my soul, because that's been on my heart. I told my deacons the other week, I said, guys, I've been missing it. One thing I missed. Listen, I believe we as a church, to see something done for God, we've got to pray. And I said, I'm going to come over here if I'm the only one. And I'm going to get with the Lord once a week. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. There's power in prayer. Hey, here they prayed. Look in chapter number 1 of the book of Acts. Oh, my friend, they prayed. They wasn't in a hurry. They didn't watch the clock. They didn't send out for some takeout order. They were hungry, but they were hungry for the things of God. And prayer went up. That's what we need. When's the last time you had desperate prayer? Listen to me. If everybody's honest in this building this morning, you've got some need in your life. You've got a mountain in your life. You've got an obstacle in your life. You don't see how in the world it's ever going to work out. You say, how am I going to pay my bills? I don't understand this sickness I've got. I don't understand how I'm going to care for my aging parents. Oh, listen, I don't understand what's going on. But I need some help. My friend, I'll tell you where you'll get it. Right down here. When you get on the altar of God and you reach up and you grab a hold of the throne of grace, he said, come boldly. What's this plan? Number one, prayer goes up. Number two, power comes down. Look what he said in the book of Acts. Disciples prayed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I don't know why that scares most people today, but I got news for you, honey. When he comes, we need to just back up. Amen. When the Holy Ghost of God comes, let him have his way. Amen. Friend, I got news for you. I got news for you. I don't say this trying to, listen, But this morning I come in this room and I walk down each one of these pews and I prayed for you sitting on that pew. I prayed for you over here. I said, God, I don't know the needs, but you know the needs. You know who's going to be sitting here today. And I pray and I beseech the Lord. And honey, I'm glad when the prayer goes up, the power comes down. Amen. Problem in our churches today, God is nowhere to be found. There's no power. There's no power. Many become cold and lifeless. Instead of the name church, we need to change it to funeral parlor. My friend, many churches today become nothing more than a social club. Oh, listen, Revelation 3:1, the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works. I know thou hast a name, thou livest and art dead. He said, you've got a name, but you're dead. It's a crying shame, my friend. A lot of churches today are dead, dried as last year's bird nest. The only thing is they just don't know they're dead. Brother Steve, I know you've been around. Brother Gary, you've been around. Brother Steve, Brother Steve McPherson been around. I've been to some churches, Joanne. And honey, I got news. Listen, I was in church one time. A fellow started to get happy a little bit. And somebody come over and said, now, we don't do that here. I believe God, listen, God inhabits the praise of his people. Amen. Amen. I'm not for wildfire, but I'm for the fire of God. I believe this, my friend. The problem in our churches today is that, number one, there's not enough prayer going up, so therefore there's not enough power coming down. I want to tell you something. When the power of God comes, my friend, sinners will get saved. Hearts will be changed. Homes will be put back together. Amen. When the power of God comes, you'll see something done that no man can do. It's only by God's Spirit and God's power, his might. We cannot do anything, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And thank God I've got an untapped resource. I can reach up this morning and tell you one thing, is that God answers prayer. God will fill you. God will use you. Oh, number three, God's plan. Prayer goes up. Power comes down. Praise fills the house. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Isn't it amazing? Folk can go to since all this March, and I guess they got a real good name for it, March Madness. Hey, man, I watched some of it the other night. I watched a team get beat. I'll put it at that, amen. My friend, listen. But I saw crowds of people gathered to watch as two teams run up and down a basketball court with a little round ball. And friend, they'd go out and they'd pay good money and they'd sit there in hard cheers for hours and they'd scream their lungs out. My friend, listen, over just a little game, honey, I got news for you. Is that when God works in the church of the living God, we as God's people ought to lift our hands and say glory, hallelujah. Thank God for what he's doing, what he's done for me, what he'll do for others. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hey, listen, when God answers your prayer and you feel the touch of God, you'll want to praise him. Amen. You won't have to work it up, conjure it up. Most people never praise the Lord because God has never done anything for them, because they've never asked God to do anything for them. I got news for you. I want him to bless. Amen. And I believe he's going to bless. And when the prayer goes up, the power comes down. Hallelujah. I want to say thank God. Hey, oh, prayer goes up, power comes down, praise fills the house, and then notice something, my friend, the people go out, Acts 1:8, and you shall be my witnesses. If you find something good, you want to share it, amen? I mean, listen, Brother Gary gets on to me all the time, but I find all these good deals on stuff. You like them shoes? You like them? They're pretty good, ain't they? How about you, Rodney? You like them shoes? Huh? Pretty nice, ain't they? They're $5. $5 shoes. Amen. That's about a $200 pair of shoes. They were sitting there at Goodwill for me the other night. I walked in. Got me a black pair and a brown pair.
You think I'm joking? The brown pair I got, I went home, looked at them online, $169. And they were $5. Hey, I find a good deal, I like to tell people about it. Amen. Brother Jeff Kaler, the other day, Friday, he took off. He's full-time evangelist, but what that means, if he's not preaching, he's trying to make a little money doing something else. So the other day, he said, "Preacher, I'll come down. We'll pass some of the flyers out." I said, "Brother Jeff." So he brought his two boys with him. His wife was down at Brother Billy Cashwell's ladies' conference. And so we had them two little boys in the back seat, and we was riding down. Praise God. Listen, I had that white car out. Y'all know what kind of car I got, right? How many of y'all know what kind of car I got? What does it look like, Joanne? Well, yeah, it's a Ford. It's white. Becca, what is it? What do y'all call it? Cop car, yeah. Now get this picture, would you please? Two little boys sitting in the back seat, nobody can see them. And I'm in the front seat, and I've got them kind of sunglasses anyway. I got them sunglasses on. And then Jeff's sitting in the front seat. We go down here to this trailer park. We pull in the trailer park. We start getting out. Jeff gets out. He said, "Wait, we're not the police. Wait." We went, handed out, and invited kids and whoever we could find. And so I picked him up. He lives right down the street from me. I said, "Boys, would y'all like to have some ice cream?" Man, that was a magic word, ice cream. Now, Jeff knew where I was going, and I think the boys knew where I was going. And I headed up down Ramsar Julian and got over to 421, crossed over 421, and I was headed to Homeland Creamery. When we just about got to Homeland Creamery, Jeff looks at me, and he says, "You know, this is the best-kept secret in all of North Carolina, in fact, probably all the United States." I said, "You know, I'd imagine most everybody in Julian knows about Homeland Creamery. And probably most everybody in Liberty knows about Homeland Creamery. And there's a few people I know in Greensboro knows about Homeland Creamery. I don't know how many people in Charlotte knows about Homeland Creamery. But I guarantee you ain't nobody in Washington knows about Homeland Creamery." He said, "That's the best kept secret in North Carolina." You know, I thought about that. And the problem, our church is this. As good as that is, as wonderful salvation is, it's probably the best kept secret there is. If it's that good, you know, we got that ice cream. I said, "Boys, how do you like that ice cream?" By the way, I take everybody over there. They ought to start paying me money. But I took Eric and Laura and little Mikey. Some of you met Mikey. Mikey is an autistic little boy. I took him over there. He got chocolate ice cream. Praise God, he had more on his face than he did in his mouth. Mikey, you like that? Boy, that's good ice cream, preacher. What am I saying? One of the best kept secrets, my friend, in this world. Right there. When the prayer goes up, amen, and the power comes down and praise fills the house, people will go out and they'll say, "Come on down yonder, look, let me tell you what good things God has done." They'll bring their little boys and girls, they'll bring their old drunkard. Friend, there's never a sinner too hard that God can't save. Give him a chance. But when the prayer goes up and the power comes down and the people praise the Lord and they go out and get others and bring them into the house of God, guess what happens? More prayer, more power, more praise. Amen. That's God's plan. Why did Jesus get so mad? Oh, because we missed it. We missed it. His house has become everything but a house of prayer. Oh. Bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Miss Joanne, come.
Pray for me, there's room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room. There's room at the cross. I know not your need today. God does. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost without the Lord Jesus. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Preacher, when I walked in that door back yonder, I felt something. I felt an unseen power. Preacher, I walked in this room this morning and I felt the presence of Almighty God. I saw the joy on the faces of God's people. Preacher, I'm lost. I know I'm lost. I need Christ. Pray for me. Would you lift that hand? Across this room, is there one? Is there one? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. What needs do you have today, my friend? Are you facing physical needs? Are you facing financial needs? Is your marriage on the rocks? Is your home about ready to break half in two? Are you discouraged? I know not your need, but I know one that can meet each and every one of those. Prayer goes up. Power comes down. Praise fills the house of God. People go out. How many of you say, preacher, I have a need this morning. I've not told anybody else about it, but I've got a need. Will you pray with me and pray for me this morning? Lift the hand, would you please? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless your heart. Amen. That's the first thing. Anyone else? Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. I've got a need today. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. How many of you say, I've got a lost loved one, family member, friend, somebody I work with, somebody that if they died right now, I know they're going to spend eternity in hell. I've got somebody right now, I can see their face, I know their name. Lift your hand up, would you please? God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, my soul, so many. I'm going to pray for you. As we pray, you don't have to wait. Some have already started coming. Get up out of your seat. Come on, find a place around this altar. I guarantee you, God will meet with you. I guarantee you. Come on, that's it. Amen. Come on. Obey the Lord. That's it. Amen. That's it. Praise God. That's it. Folks are coming. That's it. Come on. Amen. That's why we're here, church. Prayer goes up. Power comes down. Praise fills the temple. People go out. Come on. Amen. That's it. Amen. If we'll become a praying church, the forces of hell, the devil, and all the demons cannot and will not stop the church that prays. It will not stop the family that prays. God bless you. Come on right now. Amen. Before we even sing. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, in the name above every name, the lovely Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the touch of God. Thank you, Lord, for the power of an unseen hand. I pray for every need that's on this altar right now, and for many has raised a hand. Lord God, I know that thou art God in heaven, and there is nothing too hard for my God to do. Lord, you can break the hardest of hearts. You can save the worst of sinners. You can heal and touch. You can restore. Oh God, I pray that your will be done even now, even this day. May the people of God pray and seek your power, and may they praise your holy name for what you're doing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Would you stand, please? Head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing a chorus. There's room at the cross for you. You come this morning, obey the Lord. There's room at the cross for you. Come on. Amen. Come on. There's room at the cross for you. No millions have come. There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Another chorus, sing it now. There's room at the cross. Ma'am, you raised a hand a minute ago. You said, preacher, I need some help. God impressed you to raise that hand. Why don't you come on down? And we'll meet with you. We'll pray with you. We'll have somebody, myself or someone, talk to you right now. Would you come? Would you come? Obey the Lord today. Would you come?
Amen.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Let her just play another stanza. Several are praying. We don't want to take away. You obey the Lord today. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Though millions have come,
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, by the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Oh, precious Father, thank you for these that have come. I pray they'd find help, find that place. Lord, I pray that you take the message and seal it to the hearts. Those that did not come here, God, I pray they'd find relief. Lord, for that one today may be lost, is still struggling. Save them before it's eternally too late. Lord, we'll give you the glory, the praise, and all that you do. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.